You're listening to Serious Inquiries Only.
Hello and welcome to Serious Inquiries Only. This is episode 101, and I'm your host, Thomas Smith. All right, today I've got a fun conversation with Natalie Newell. She's an ardent science advocate. She co-hosts the Science Enthusiast podcast, and she recently made a documentary called Science Moms. We're going to talk about that, her backstory, how she got into it. But also, one thing that I in particular wanted to talk about was the backlash she's getting online and her documentary is getting with accusations that she's part of some conspiracy involving Monsanto and other companies. And it's both funny and really alarming to see. So we talk a lot about that, just how advocating for GMO technology and other stuff like that just gives you this instant status as part of this dark, shadowy conspiracy for some people. It's really weird. So we're going to talk about that and more. Let's get to the interview. Joining me right now is Monsanto. Oh gosh. All right. We got to re-record. Cut that immediately. Natalie Newell, how are you doing?
I'm great. And cut it. Yeah. But restart. It's already out there in the Twitterverse what yeah. I am. So
yeah,
you know it. Andrew knows it. Everyone knows it. So we might as well just have it out there.
Oh man. So yeah. Thank you for being here. I'm really happy to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And I was reminded that of the great work you're doing and the movie you made when Andrew tagged me for some reason. I don't know why, but I guess he wanted me to join in on the fun. But he tagged me in some hate you were getting, and it extended to Andrew, and then it like kind of extended to me for some reason. And at first I was laughing about it. I wanted to get you on to talk about that and, of course, the other stuff you're doing in your movie and all that. But I wanted to talk about GMO resistance. I wanted to talk about the Twitter hate. But then I was also kind of saddened by it. I realized, like, man, there's a lot of these people out there. And they're shockingly – the whole thing is shocking. Like, there's the things they say about you. And I just wanted to talk about it and get it out there.
Yeah, it is. It is shocking. It is. It's disheartening on the base level of seeing how willing people are to just go down the conspiracy rabbit hole.
Yeah, or like invent the conspiracy rabbit hole, you know, like they're these people seem to be creating it. You know, it's not just like,
it's a very manufactured, odd conspiracy that they're crafting with really no no evidence.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to their conspiracy.
there's a lot. And what I'm thinking of is there's so much that, like, I would have to be one of the best keepers of secrets ever to be part of this huge Monsanto conspiracy.
We blew it in the beginning of the recording, but okay.
I know.
Other than
that.
I know.
So it just, it makes no sense. But you realize when you put out into the world something that says, I guess, the highly controversial thing of vaccines are safe, GMOs are safe, people find you and kind of decide that there must be something kind of some dirty dealings going on with this whole thing. And the Twitterverse is an odd place, as we know, because the whole internet is just, it can devolve into a dumpster fire in like 0.1 seconds. Since the film, my Science Moms film, has come out, there have definitely been some odd characters who believe that the film is essentially like a Monsanto
propaganda.
PR stunt.
Yeah. Well, with that as a teaser for that, because I want to get into some of the things they're saying later and say a few words about that. But with that as a little teaser, why don't you take us back and talk about how you got interested in this, how you went on to, you know, essentially make your own film. And that's really cool. So take us back and tell us your story.
So I've always been kind of interested in scientific skepticism and all of that, you know, the topics that, you know, we probably have in common. all the way back to like being an undergrad in college and taking, you know, an irrational behavior class and learning about why people believe crazy shit pretty much. But then, you know, fast forward many years from then, you know, like a decade on, and I'm a parent. At that point I had worked in the field of education, early childhood education for almost 10 years, as a Montessori preschool teacher and then a school principal. And so I'm around children and parents pretty much all the time in my professional life at that point. And then I have two little kids of my own. And I found a lot of, oh man, tough conversations happening either around me or to me that I don't know, I guess I realized that there was this whole culture of fear and misinformation surrounding parenting. And I mean, you have a kid now.
Allegedly. I have a kid I invented with the help of Monsanto to help promote.
A little, yeah. Yeah, you're part of this now. You're part of this.
I know. I want to be a bigger part of it. I'm gonna get more Monsanto money than you. It's a competition now.
Okay, it's a competition because you have the genetically modified baby at this.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, I have a baby that I can use to say, like, look at all these safe vaccines and GMO foods I put in this baby. But it's just a doll that, that looks like a baby. So you're
kind of like Big Pharma and Monsanto shill. Mm-hmm.
I'll shill for whoever's paying the top dollar.
Yeah, whoever's giving you more money. I mean,
not even top dollar, just like medium dollar to low dollar, just any dollar.
Yeah, I'll take a dollar. Like, give it to me. give me a dollar. So really, you know, here I am working in education, which obviously private school education. We know I'm not getting paid that much, so I'm like, how am I going to make more money? Hey, Monsanto,
that's how they got you.
Know this is how it really goes, probably according to people on the internet. But really how it went is I was just having, like I said, these conversations where I'm running a school, parents are coming to me saying, you know, I think you should only serve organic food at the school because it's going to be healthier for the kids, or asking me personal questions of, oh, you have your own kids now. Have you thought about, you know, maybe waiting on some of those vaccinations? Or when one mom, and I tell this all the time because it has stuck with me, because it was one of those turning point moments of, oh my goodness, like, this is what people believe and do. I had a mom come up to me and ask if I considered taking my son, who was at that point maybe 6 months old, to a chiropractor because he was crying, as babies do. And I'm like, yeah, he cries sometimes. Because he's a baby. Yeah.
Have you tried breaking its neck to make it stop crying? Like, no, I haven't tried that because I want my child to survive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for, you know, living children. So, so I'm at that point, essentially the head of this little school and a parent who is my customer, really, when you think about it, is asking me if I want to get my son's back cracked. And I am in just having these super awkward moments where I have to just take a breath and as politely as possible when someone suggests.
I know.
That, just say, I'm good.
Yeah, it's something I talked about actually at that California Free Thought Day. I don't think I've mentioned it on the show, but just that it's so funny how backwards it is, where when someone comes to you, like for example, I think I had a headache or something. I don't know. I had something going on back at my old work. And my boss suggested some, like, bullshit. She's essentially like, hey, do you want this bullshit? And I was like, oh, God. And then the whole burden is on me now. Like, societally, if I say, hold on, let me Google that. And I Google it. And when I type it in, it says, this is bullshit. Like, this is nothing. Then all of a sudden, I was, like, stressed. I was like, how am I going to tell, you know, like, what do I say? How do I politely, you know, turn this person down in a way that'll, you know, not be like, they're going to think I'm a jerk, you know, that kind of thing. And I realized, like, why am I the one who is so stressed out right now? Shouldn't it just be that I say, oh, I looked that up. It's, you know, actually it doesn't do anything. And then it's like, oh, thanks. You know, like, why don't we just value basic skepticism? We totally don't. And I could totally, relate to what you're saying. I think I've had that very problem with chiropractic. It comes up a lot too. And you never know not only who is going to be someone who participates in chiropractic, which, by the way, if anyone out there listening doesn't know this, chiropractic is nonsense. It's all pseudoscience.
And it's really dangerous.
It can be
dangerous. Especially for children. We're talking babies. Yeah. Like, I'm talking like little, small bodies.
Oh, absolutely. Don't let them do that. It can be dangerous. It's not... I think that those numbers are interesting to look at. If you're just talking about, you know, you and I going and getting a thing, I do want to make sure to stay consistent with the scientific data. And in terms of the accident rates, like, it's not, you know, you're probably going to die driving there more likely than getting an adjustment. There. But still, it's a non-zero danger and there's no benefit other than, you know, mentally, I guess, if you think it helps you. But you never know, not only who likes chiropractic, but then someone might be a chiropractor, or you have like, oh yeah, my dad's a chiropractor. And then all of a sudden you're insulting an entire person's like profession and like how they, you know, it's hard. That one's like one of the hardest ones. I always want to say, you know, whenever someone mentions it, I always want to say, oh yeah, I used to think that was something, but it turns out it's nonsense, but you can't. It's like, you'll be ostracized if you say that.
No, it's so hard. And when I was doing that job, I had to be there as the face of this school and, you know, try to swallow a lot of what I wanted to say at times, because it's about having these relationships with parents. But when they're clearly making some odd personal decisions for their children, like, what do you do, you know? And so, especially just seeing more and more of that around me, I started feeling at times like, am I missing something? Because I'm not feeling the need to do all of my grocery shopping at Whole Foods for like organic and non-GMO food. I am taking my kids to this awesome pediatrician practice where it's this group of women doctors who, when I went in the first time, like before my first son was even born, just I went in to check out the practice, they said to the group of people that were there to check out the practice, we vaccinate. And if you're looking to not be down with that, we might not be the practice for you. And yeah. I at that moment thought, this is the practice for me.
Yeah.
Because I was of the mindset that I am going to vaccinate my children. I am going to trust medical professionals. I'm going to feed my children healthy food, whether that is conventionally grown or organic or whatever. I just want to, you know, spend a reasonable amount of money at the grocery store and not go crazy. But I at times kind of felt like maybe that was a weird way to be, because when everybody else around you, it seems like, is kind of a different mindset, It can feel like, and it sounds so first world privilege saying, oh, it can be isolating to, you know, not have that, you know, worldview, but it's a bizarre thing. And so it was just sort of a weird culture, parenting culture to be in when I had my two little kids. And then I never was super into mommy blogs or, I don't know, like searching the internet for parenting advice. But there was one parenting blog that I've always liked, and it is Grounded Parents, which I don't know. I just don't know how active it is anymore, but I think it's part of the like Skeptic network of blogs and stuff. But I used to read it. And one night, just up feeding a baby at like 2 a.m, as you do. And I was scrolling on my phone at the same time, because that's also what I did. I came across this open letter written by a group of women who are scientists, science communicators, and moms. And this was around the time when people like Gwyneth Paltrow and Sarah Michelle Gellar and other celebrities were really into that whole Just Label It campaign about GMOs. It was when Gwyneth Paltrow went to Washington, D.C. and somehow got to stand up in front of people in DC and
I'm here as a mom.
Cool, you're there as a mom. There's probably a lot of moms who are better qualified and don't advocate shoving things in, you know, your vagina like Jade Rocks, but whatever, that's her thing. But there was, you know, this group of women who decided they, as scientists and science-minded people who are also parents, wanted to kind of say their own piece about these issues. And so there was this open letter with the hashtag of moms for GMOs. And I read this and thought, oh, okay, maybe I'm not on some little island of rational thought, you know? And there are other people out there who are parents who want to, I don't know, like kind of shift the narrative around things like GMOs and then by association, things like vaccines and other sort of science-minded parenting topics. So there was just something about reading this particular letter or blog post that resonated with me. And it's the kind of thing where that was two years ago, and kind of fast forward to now, and I'm trying to convince people on Twitter that I'm not, you know, a shill or something. But from the moment of reading that letter, I think it was a couple of days later, wrote up this proposal for a short film and sent it to the group of five women who authored the letter. And pretty much like, hey, I'm a stranger from the internet who wants to make a movie about you.
Wow. Did you have a filmmaking, you know, history or background or anything, or did you just come up with that out of nothing?
So, I mean, the idea kind of came out of, you know, nothing, but I am really fortunate in that my kid's dad is, we're not romantically involved anymore, but we're really good friends. And he is an editor. He works for National Geographic, and he is the person that actually edited the film. So I was kind of the ideas person, director, producer, and he edited. So magic of editing, but also, you know, just, it was just my idea. And I just thought it could make a good movie. And I guess, you know, since college and in the post-college years, I've just had a lot of friends who are involved in things like nonfiction, TV, and film production. My best friend is a college film professor. So I've just kind of been around that in more of a social way, but just got a lot of good advice along the way in making this happen.
Well, that's really cool. I mean, it's awesome that you were able to, you know, set about to do a project and you accomplished it. And congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Super
and
cool.
It's a lot of thanks to, I mean, every person that donated to the Kickstarter campaign. I mean, it was a crowdfunded film. And then just all of the really awesome.
Was there one donor,
M.Santo? There's one.
Yeah.
That's it. But I mean, they wanted to be a little tricky with it. So they created, I don't know, a couple hundred individual people. You know, some of them are like, oh, let's make this person donate $5.
Yeah. For Breaking Bad fans out there, it's like that kind of. One thing that I think is interesting, and I've talked about a little bit on the show, is, you know, Democrats and I think skeptics like to talk a lot about how anti-science Republicans are, and they are. And don't get me wrong, it's another one of those, I'm not going to make it like a both sides thing. But when it comes to certain questions, Democrats are actually really anti-science as well. And it's disappointing because I would much rather prefer, you know, I don't know your political leanings necessarily, but I consider myself firmly on the left, and I would rather be on the side of science. And one thing that's really weird about the GMO debate is that it's like, from the polls I'm seeing, really equal. Like, it's like across the political spectrum. It is remarkable how, from the numbers I'm seeing, how similar it is within the parties. I mean, you're facing a lot of pushback. Do you get a sense of where it's coming from, right or left? Or I guess it might be hard to tell with Twitter harassment.
Oh, it's hard to tell, but I think it seems like it's a little bit more left leaning with the GMO stuff, and it's a bummer to me as somebody who considers myself more left of center, and it's a conversation that I've had. I have stickers on my computer that say, like, you know, it's my friend Dan sells them, or like, you know, that vaccines are safe or GMOs are safe and vaccines work and all this stuff. And I had a woman come up to me one day when I was at a coffee shop working and just had a conversation with me. And she was talking about how she considers herself liberal and how upsetting it is that fellow liberals don't, I guess, approve of GMOs when they can have such a positive social impact in the world in terms of hunger and all that kind of stuff. And shouldn't we, as liberal or left-leaning people, want that for the planet, you know? And how to, you know, say or kind of demonize them.
Yeah.
It runs contrary to kind of issues of social justice and all of that, I think. And that's what this woman brought up to me. And it was an interesting point and, you know, kind of bringing to the table that there is sometimes kind of more left or liberal like resistance to the idea of GMOs.
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't know where it comes from. It must be like there's a portion of the left that, yeah, I don't know. I guess I would probably be generalizing, but I do know that there tends to be, from my experience anyway, anecdotally, overlap between, you know, like almost a bit of a hippie mentality, you know, Mother Earth kind of thing. And like this idea, it's like horseshoe theory. I don't literally subscribe to horseshoe theory, but there are times where in individual issues where there can be an odd overlap between like people on the left thinking, you know, Mother Nature knows best somehow. Like they almost have like a Gaia religion, you know, like the planet knows best. Never mind the fact that we totally changed everything on the planet. Like literally everything we eat did not exist in the Garden of Eden, assuming that existed, by the way. But like we've changed everything, but never mind that. And there's an overlap between those people and then people who think literally like, yes, God made strawberries the way they are. You know, it's kind of weird that there's such a firm overlap on that issue. And the numbers are remarkably similar, like for each position when they look at like, are you against GMOs or are you kind of okay with them or are you totally for them? It's like the same across both Democrat, not only Democrat and Republican, but moderates, like all the numbers I'm seeing are the same across the board. It's really odd. And you know what? I just finally found that poll. That's the opinion difference between the public and scientists. Yeah, we both, before we started recording, both were trying to find it because we're like, oh, yeah, we should reference that because we both, you know, like used it at different times and neither of us could find it. But I came across it and it's the opinion difference between the public and scientists. And GM foods is 88% of scientists say it's safe, which that should really be higher, but that's okay. 88 say it's safe and 37% of non-scientists say it's safe. So there's a big, big gulf there.
And it's a staggering difference right there. Yeah.
And another one actually is safe to eat foods grown with pesticides. That one's lower for scientists. So it's 68, but it's even lower for non-scientists is 28%. That's an interesting one. Is that a topic you've looked into?
So pesticides, I mean, one of the only things that we kind of cover in the film about pesticides is the fact that there's some misconceptions around differences between kind of conventional and organic farming. And a lot of people, when asked, kind of assume that there are no pesticides used in organic farming. And that is something that some of the women brought up in the film when we were talking about food and farming and all of that, and that organic farming does use pesticides, just organic pesticides, which are, you know, because...
Begs the question, what's an organic pesticide?
Is it copper sulfate is one that that I think it was Allison referenced in the
just pesticides that they've decided or
it's because it's not synthetic, right? It's not made in so it's not like glyphosate or something. That
why would Mother Nature have invented a good like non-synthetic pesticide? Why would it be like a natural? That doesn't make any sense.
But you know, but you know what? Natural's better. Organic is better, right? That's the marketing that has been pushed and successfully and stuff too. But yeah, so pesticides, it is definitely touched on a little bit in the film, but again, in 30 minutes, there's only so much depth that we can go into for all of these things. But there's a lot of fear tactics around things like pesticides too. Like there's the Environmental Working Group is an organization that puts out every year a list called the Dirty Dozen of produce items that they say you pretty much need to buy the organic version of them because pesticides. There's things like that exist kind of in the world. And I wish I had handy kind of some of my favorite debunking articles about like the EWG Dirty Dozen. Because in itself, it's sort of an odd concept that an organization is essentially saying, or trying to, in a way, it seems like scare people from buying fresh fruits and vegetables unless they are willing and able to spend more money on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is
buying organic food is certainly a privileged thing to be able to do. It's so much more expensive.
It is. And as far as sort of nutritional value and all of that, it's not going to be better for you or your children to, you know, if you decide that you want to spend, you know, $2 more on that bag of apples if you want to buy organic. So a lot of these feel like very privileged decisions that we are able to make here about food, you know, kind of in our country over here, and the issues of food and how we view it and everything here, I think, kind of trickle down in sometimes in an unfortunate way to other parts of the world who are kind of looking to us to see, you know, what our attitudes about things like biotechnology and organic and all that stuff are. And if we're demonizing GMOs or whatever here, places that could actually benefit from them, I feel
I think absolutely. I think another thing that's interesting that I want to say is if you don't think GMOs are safe, then you also shouldn't even believe in climate change. You might as well, if you and for that matter, you start questioning evolution, because actually the numbers of scientists who think that GMOs are safe is slightly higher than the percentage that think climate change is due to human activity. So you might as well start questioning that. And I just think that's what I would tell people on the left, because the climate change thing is far more obviously a right wing thing. Mm-hmm. But it's still just a scientific consensus. I don't get how you could pick and choose which scientific consensuses, which overwhelming scientific consensi you decide to go with. That seems weird. Now, if it was like a 50-50 thing, okay, that might be a different story, but these are overwhelming. I mean, these are 88-89%, you know, that's an overwhelming majority of scientists who recognize that this is safe or climate change or whatever. And I don't know how you pick and choose between those. It seems to me that you should be consistent with that. Another one that might not be popular, by the way, is nuclear power plants. It's on this poll as well. Nuclear power is one where I think that it has really gotten the short end of the stick. And there's sort of a weird, that one is, it might be more left, more people on the left are against nuclear than on the right. I'm not sure, but that would be my intuition. But that's something where it's like the scientific consensus is only 65%, but still, I mean, that's a strong majority. 65% of scientists say we need more nuclear power plants, and only 45% of non-scientists. And that's something where I think, you know, when our intuitions kind of stumble over one another, where it's like we want stuff that's better for the environment, but when we essentially restrict nuclear power, like we haven't been building power plants at all forever because of one accident or two, and that increases reliance on fossil fuels and is just worse for the environment. And I think, you know, as much as environmentalists have been in favor, like, are the kinds of people who are against nuclear, I think they're mistaken. But anyway, sorry, you were going to butt in before I went off on a tangent.
So I was going to say, though, like, because you're right about picking and choosing which consensus people, you know, are going to subscribe to and believe in. But there also sometimes seems to be a misconception of what consensus is. And I think Allison in my film, Allison Bernstein, she's a neuroscientist, and she's one of the women that I interviewed. She describes it so well that, you know, sometimes people think consensus is just scientists kind of raising their hands and saying, I agree with this thing that you're saying. But consensus is the confluence of like all the evidence about a particular subject. So the research and evidence about things like, you know, GMOs or vaccine safety or whatever, it's the consensus of the evidence. And so the fact and people still somehow can say, oh, well, what, like big corporations paid for scientific consensus or some conspiracy theory around why that's wrong. It that just baffles me.
Yeah, it's one thing if you're talking, if you are just talking to an individual scientist, then okay. I mean, it's not as though you have to believe everything that person says, because yeah, the tobacco industry bribed a bunch of scientists, and you know, same thing happened with climate change, and yeah, that can happen. They can get scientists who, you know, pretty much immoral scientists to testify to nonsense. That's happened. But when you look at the overwhelming consensus, as you said, I mean, that's a big payroll. And not only that, it's, yeah, like Allison said, it's not as though they can just bribe them to say, they have to, like, this work has to be, you know, peer reviewed and make sense. And there's a huge system that they would be pretty impossible to overtake that entire system. But with that in mind, maybe we should talk about some of the allegations against us both now. Well, I think mainly you, but I've gotten a little bit of it.
I mean, you're just by association at this point.
I'm implicated.
It's like it's trickling down from me to Andrew Torres to you. I mean, it's
Definitely.
You're part of this now.
I'm lawyering up. I have, fortunately, Monsanto has a great legal team. They're providing
me
with counsel. So.
So yeah, somehow my little film that was crowdfunded, I think about $10,000 on Kickstarter, somehow is part of Monsanto PR. And I remember it was probably at least a year ago or something, when before the film had come out, whatever, seeing somewhere that science, there's this movie Science Moms, and it's created by a PR firm. And I'm thinking, no, it's created by me, like, in a coffee shop, basically. Like,
how weird is it when
Docs.
People are telling you, I've had some experience with this too, where people are telling just offhandedly, like, oh yeah, I know that. That's a PR firm, Monsanto PR or whatever. How weird is it when it's like, no, I did this? Like,
yeah. So it's weird because other than doing Science Moms, I also do a podcast. And recently we were doing we did an interview. We interviewed James Ball. He's a journalist. And we talked all about fake news and post-truth and all this stuff. And as I'm preparing for that interview with him, I find out that there's legit fake news about Science Moms in a book. I sent you a picture of this. This is just the one that just got me. Like, holy shit, they're talking about this somewhere. These people who are, I imagine, like, in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, there's an episode where Charlie is in the mailroom and he's like making a conspiracy theory board with like lines of string and pictures.
Oh, yeah,
and all
you'll
that
see
stuff.
That. Yeah, posted that picture.
Like,
yeah.
I picture that is what's happening
definitely.
About there's
definitely.
A Science Moms board somewhere. And so there's a woman named Carrie Gillum, and she's associated with, I think it's like U.S. Right to Know, you know, U.S. Right to Know What's in Your Food. Right. She wrote a book called Whitewash, and it has to do with things like Monsanto and glyphosate and all that. But I have a friend, Mary, who
explained glyphosate or
so she's, you know, how awful all this is. I haven't read the book,
so
I'll say
that. Sounds sciencey, so glyphosate must be evil. Is that an evil child murder chemical?
Yeah. So she wrote a book, and my friend Mary, who I think is just kind of taking one for Team Science, was reading this book. And so she posts a picture on Twitter, letting us know that Science Moms is mentioned in this book about glyphosate and Monsanto. So I pulled it up, and I can tell you what it says. So it's talking about, you know, what Monsanto can do, I guess, for PR. And it says, mommy bloggers, women who write about parenting or related topics, are among the social media players Monsanto and its PR teams have recruited for positive commentary on agrochemical industry interests, such as glyphosate and GMOs. Monsanto has ties to social media groups, such as Moms for GMOs and Science Moms, for instance. These groups post favorable industry information on an array of websites while appearing to be independent of industry influence. So that's me. Hey, thanks for mentioning me in your book without ever checking in.
Yeah.
Like, I did not ever have any interaction with this woman, But clearly she's aware. Just,
well, she knows. I mean, come on. The writing is on the wall, Natalie.
The writing's on the wall.
The writing's on that whiteboard with all the yarn or whatever.
There is a whiteboard, some bulletin board with yarn and strings and pictures of me and all the women in the film. So that is essentially saying I somehow have ties to Monsanto PR. And there's going to be an episode of Kevin Folta's Talking Biotech podcast that's coming out, I think.
I've had him on the show.
You've had okay. Yeah.
He's awesome. It's been a few years, I think, but
Because Kevin is
he's
no
in the
stranger,
pocket of Monsanto. But he's also in the pocket of Monsanto.
Oh yeah, yeah. Cause Kevin is no stranger to all of these like shill accusations and stuff. So he had me on to talk about some of this stuff. And he got, you know, FOIA'd, right? Whenever that was.
Yeah.
And he let me know and he let us know that there was an email at some point saying something about moms or people to talk to about this stuff. But somehow I think that is their like piece of yarn on the whiteboard connection.
So Kevin Folta said
the word moms.
Go to where the moms are. And then Monsanto did.
Yeah. Because somehow Kevin Folta and I have just known each other for probably a really long time.
If you get the moms, the country follows.
Yeah. So that's where, you know, some of the connection for that comes from.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, there was a whole blog post on some wacky blog. I sent you the link to this.
Did you?
I sent you a link to one about Vance Crowe. Of Monsanto, who's the millennial engagement director at Monsanto. Another of my favorite or least favorite Twitter trolls, who I have all these people muted now, but wrote this weird blog post in the spring about Vance, who I'm, you know, like he's my friend. That's kind of it. But just this whole post saying, I guess, how he is connected to those of us who run science and skeptic pages and projects and all of that, and calling me out for calling him my friend. Like it makes me laugh because it's so weird that these people even care that my film exists.
Yeah.
And so it's that thing where it's funny to a degree that this person,
but it's so disturbing.
It's So this person who wrote the blog post about Vance made this photoshopped picture of it's like the TV show Friends, but instead of Friends, it says Monsanto.
Oh, I did see that. Okay,
yeah. And so I have that as my Facebook banner header picture because
maybe I'll borrow that
amazing.
for this podcast.
Because it's so funny because it's me. It's Kevin Folta, Julie Kelly, who's a journalist, Vance from Monsanto, Yvette,
was this made seriously?
Yeah.
Like this was not like ironic. This was
this was made as the like as a graphic to go in this person's blog post. Like and they're like, it's funny. Yeah, it's fucking funny, but like they took the time to Photoshop our heads on the friends' bodies. It's just I mean, it's the kind of thing I should frame and have all of the, you know, the people in it sign it and just have it in my house. But so it goes from kind of the funny to then the just really kind of bizarre in the past couple weeks. Some of the tweets and everything and just calling it propaganda, whatever. That's fine. That's what people think. But when it kind of starts to go into saying things like that by doing this kind of film or by speaking about these kind of issues, we're essentially advocating, you know, like we're bad moms or advocating things that are harmful to children and all of that. There's something about that that's just gross.
Well, it's scary. Yeah. Who knows if, you know, some unbalanced person is going to think that you're killing children or something. It's definitely scary, but I totally know what you mean where it's like, I had the same reaction where it's like, oh, this is funny. And then it's like, man, this is also kind of disturbing because it's what's frustrating about it is that it's not just disagreement. You know, it's not just like, oh, I disagree. Let's discuss the evidence And even if you can't convince someone, at least you're having a discussion. This is lizard people. Like, this is...
Oh, it is.
If they believe everyone is lizard people behind their skin, you can't... There's nothing I could say that wouldn't be what a lizard person would say in this situation. Like, there's nothing... You can't say anything to get them out of that. And it's just... It's scary in a way. And no. On a lighter note, I want to read some of the tweets that I saw.
Okay.
It was so good. So someone... I don't know who this is, but someone... with the Twitter handle BioChicaGMO.
Oh, that's Layla. She's in the movie and she is such a badass on Twitter.
Okay, cool. That's awesome. She said, hey, I've got a deal for you, to someone apparently who was harassing her about this.
Oh, Paul Thacker, I bet that's him.
That's it. So she said, hey, I've got a deal for you. Hire a forensic accountant to do my taxes this year. I'll get free tax services. You'll get to break an exclusive story if there's evidence that Monsanto is paying me. Time to put up or shut up. That's awesome. That's a great, I love that. Like, that's win-win. Yeah. You can't, you know, how could this person... You know, turn that down. And what's amazing is,
do you think Paul Thacker has taken her up on that offer?
Absolutely, it's done deal.
It's a done deal. He's got it hired. It's in the works. Like,
yeah.
Crickets.
Yeah, he didn't even respond. Nothing, it looks like nothing, that I'm seeing.
Yeah. No.
I mean, the Twitter embeds are a little weird now. Sometimes there's like threads within threads that I'm not seeing, but I don't see anything on this. And what is weird, and this is how Andrew got pulled into it weirdly, was someone responded to that with what seems like a non sequitur, and maybe you can explain this, saying finding Mrs. Newell will be really easy. Oh, Miss Newell will be really easy. She is eating delicious dinners with Monsanto PR to work out where to edit her film thingy, which it was already done at this point, wasn't it? So
yeah. So
hold on. They go on.
Oh, sorry.
They go on. Don't interrupt this. You know, it's not going to make any sense if you interrupt it. How much did Big Six Ag Chem pay Monsanto's Cammie Ryan? Well, now you got Big Six Ag Chem paying a Monsanto person.
Yeah, Cammie.
To kickstart this advertorial project. So answer the question.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unpack here. I mean, first of all, is it an advertorial? Is it a film thingy? Like, I don't know what I don't know what I made at this point.
Are you done with it or not?
That lady, oh my goodness, she's on mute for me, because she's the one that was tweeting, science moms are on the sauce again, irresponsible. Like, I think she was calling,
I think I saw you respond to that. Yeah.
So there was that. At a point I was just responding to her with GIFs, because that's all I could do.
What else can you do? Yeah.
What else can you do? I mean, that was a couple weeks ago at this point, and she was just getting GIFs because there were a lot of us. It was funny, and she was going wild. So I don't really know what her deal is, but clearly she's looking for me and looking through all my old tweets. So the delicious Monsanto dinner, I will tell you, I did have dinner with some friends that work at Monsanto.
No way. It's all true.
Yeah. And so it's all true. So therefore paid advertorial by Monsanto. If you look through my old tweets, and who really wants to do that, because I tweet a lot of bullshit on there. Paul Thacker, you know, great investigative journalist, found my tweet from whenever that was, maybe February or March. I was in St. Louis.
So these people just happened to work at Monsanto, or was this because you were receiving funding?
I got to go and actually tour the Monsanto research facility when I was there.
You got to see where how the children are killed.
I got to see tomatoes getting injected with all kinds of liquid and stuff. I saw it all. I did. I ate dinner in St. Louis with, among others, Cammie Ryan, who was mentioned in that tweet.
Big mistake.
Big mistake having a great night with some awesome people. I should just take it all back now. But yeah, Cammie gets brought into this because she works for Monsanto.
Now, if she works for Monsanto, why does she need to be also paid by Agro? What was it? Agro?
Yeah,
Big Six,
I don't know.
Can't Monsanto just handle that?
Yeah, because I mean, Cammie,
is there some like
Monsanto,
evil corporation sharing program? Like they all decided, like, okay, we're all evil corporations here. Let's crowdfund together.
Let's crowdfund $10,000.
Yeah.
Because
that's petty cash.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
$10,000 for
no offense to you.
No,
they
I'm
probably would have found.
Me. Please offend me. Because
no offense to you, they would have hired James Cameron. They were, you know, if you got evil Monsanto Corporation money, that's a double bluff. You know, like yeah. super secret, double secret probation.
You're not finding me.
No. Yeah, like to hire you. That's an odd one. That's odd.
It's an odd one. I'm an odd choice for this whole operation.
Then you know, do you ever wonder like what would it be like to talk to these people? Like would it be horrible or would if you met this person on the street, mm-hmm.
yeah.
would they just be a person or would it like immediately you said like, oh hi, and they would be like, did you know they're watching us and they're wearing a tinfoil hat? Or you know, like I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I know, and that's the thing because people have you know, online personas or whatever, but I do wonder with these people because it seems like they're so far off the deep end, you know?
Yeah. Here's one thing I've noticed about virtually everything, every one of these, essentially trolls. I mean,
yeah,
I use troll loosely. I don't know how much they're like, some of them are trolling, but some of them just are persistent, you know,
yeah.
and they just like to tweet a bunch of the same stuff. And what I've noticed is that if you look at their ratio of tweets to followers, it's a war crime. Like it is
yes.
this one in particular, Olive Farmer, who yeah. was who knows where you are because you work for Monsanto and you're dining with them.
Yeah.
She has 68,900 tweets.
Holy shit.
Yeah. How do you have the time to do that? And she has 1,800 followers. Yeah, not a bad follower count, but
yeah, she has more than me.
68,900 tweets. And you know, all of them are just like glyphosate, you know, just over and over. It's
yeah.
amazing. And all of the ones like in these threads who I've seen who are giving you a hard time about this, they're all that way. Like,
oh, yeah.
Which makes me wonder, I don't know how many people it is or if it's just a few people who tweet 70,000 times at everybody about it. It's frustrating. Either way, it clouds the atmosphere here. And it's hard to have faith in online interactions ever again.
It is. And man, I mean, they are relentless sometimes too, which is so bizarre. And just looking for anything like that Paul Thacker guy who has been quiet now, I think probably since Layla, like mic dropped on him about the taxes, but he everything. I think I retweeted a tweet of Rob Fraley from Monsanto because he had tweeted one of Coven Sinopathy's articles about I don't know GMOs. And so this dude decides, well, it's a science mom's coincidence that Natalie retweets the Monsanto guy or the Monsanto guy tweets Coven's article. It's like. It's not that sinister, but also I honestly did retweet it just because I wanted to see if he would notice, and he did. God damn it. These people have nothing better to do, but they think that there's some sinister plot to all of this. But doesn't it just make more sense that all of us who are interested in biotechnology and GMOs and all of that, we all kind of follow each other and each other's work mm-hmm. and retweet each other's stuff like
that's like I remember a long time ago when someone had some conspiracy theory about how all the atheist podcasts patron each other on Patreon to drive up their numbers. It's like, no, we kind of just do that to be nice, and it's only a few bucks anyway. It's not like it really does anything. It's kind of like that.
Yeah,
where it's like,
it is
yeah.
and it's just we are, you know, you kind of go with your like-minded people on certain things
yeah,
and we
yeah.
collaborate with each other and we like each other and it's really simple.
It's frustrating because I started caring about GMOs a while back when I saw, I think it might have been a TED Talk actually, but before TED Talks were so ridiculous now. But it was one where a guy talked about like, yeah, you know, people are so resistant to GMOs and, you know, we could be feeding millions of people, millions more people are currently starving, except, you know, essentially some white people in America are mad about it. So, you know, it
yeah.
drove me nuts to know that people are going hungry possibly because of this yuppie resistance to something that they don't know anything about. Like you said, I mean, it's far more plausible that scientific consensus tells us something and ordinary citizens like you and the people in your movie care about this issue and want to get it out there. That makes more sense than like you've been duped into saying stuff that you know is like harmful and going to hurt people. Like how many people would do that? You know, like
I know.
Take payment and, to spread. Yeah, good.
And I've said it too. Like if, so say tomorrow morning we wake up and on the front page of the newspaper overnight, somehow magically the scientific consensus on GMOs, it changes, you know, or at any point it changes. I would say, okay, I'm going to change my mind with when new evidence is presented.
Right.
And so there's that. There's also the fact that if a corporation or some big something funded my film, I would have said it.
It probably would have been a full hour too.
Yeah. I would have been, I would have had more time. I would have had more
time,
money.
Or like, resources. Yeah.
I would have said it. I'm not a keeper of secrets here. And that's the thing that's just bizarre to me too, is that I would have been transparent about it because I believe in these messages and I stand behind what is in this film, unless somebody comes to me and says, you're wrong, and presents me with the evidence that shows that any of that is incorrect, you know, because I take it seriously. Like the reason that I wanted to make a film about these topics with people that know what they're talking about is because I didn't want it to be just another film like movies like What the Health or GMO OMG or whatever that just parades pseudoscience as fact, you know? I wanted to have experts on these topics talk about them. And yeah, if anything is wrong, like, let me know. I'm like, I think skepticism is being open to changing your mind, right? With actual evidence, not with people yelling at you on Twitter that you're whatever. The conspiracy around all of this is so crazy. And I wish it would die.
It's amazing that just from kind of following a passion you had and doing a project and following through on it, which is, like I said earlier, I mean, it's really amazing that you did that. Just from doing that, you all of a sudden are embroiled in this like conspiracy theory. It's so crazy. But I think that's a good note to go out on. Make sure to tell everybody where to find you, where to find your movie, anything you want to throw out there.
Okay, so you can find Science Moms on, we have a Facebook page for Science Moms. We also have a new website that we are starting under the name Sci Moms, so SCI Moms. We're going to continue doing some stuff together that is outside of the movie. But if you would like to watch the film, and I hope you do, you can go to sciencemomsdoc.com and there you can get a download. So it costs a little money because Monsanto isn't paying me that well. So.
Yeah, too bad. If you had that funding, it would be free, but
unfortunately. I know. Sorry, guys.
All right. Excellent. Thanks for joining me. And that really cool. I can't wait to check out the movie. I encourage everyone to check all that out. So, Natalie, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
That's it for the show. I just have an update on the Patreon stuff. It does sound like they aren't, it might not be so much Patreon greed as I thought it was, because it sounds like they want to actually charge everyone's credit cards every time there's a post. So it's a really stupid idea, but it sounds like they might not necessarily be making a killing off of it. They're just going to make payment processors a killing. So because they need more money, apparently. It's a really dumb idea. I will say one thing people are doing is they're changing their pledge to be a whole month's worth and then setting a limit for that. So it effectively turns into a monthly thing. So if you're a $1 patron, you change it to like $9, $8 or $9, and then set a cap at $8 or $9, and then it'll just charge you once on the first post of the month, and it'll be essentially how it was, or even it might even be cheaper. I don't know. But that's, I guess that works as a short-term fix. That's up to you if you want to do that. I'm still going to try to find a way to maybe just bring it in-house so that I'm not making Patreon or a bunch of credit card companies a bunch of extra money. But we'll see if I'm able to do that. A few people asked me why not just convert to a monthly Patreon page. Seth Andrews did that, and he said he lost half of his Patreon money. And since this is my living, that's a really scary prospect. Imagine if you just found out you were going to get half your paycheck. That's too scary to mess with for me. The short-term solution is edit the pledge to be a monthly amount. The downside is it ruins the total number. The total number is now like a mix between people who are paying that much per episode and that much per month. So it's kind of meaningless data. So I actually took that down. But thank you so much for sticking with me. I did get some cancellations of people who were mad at Patreon, and I understand your anger there, but I really appreciate everyone who has stayed on. Because hopefully you recognize that how scary this is for my job to be kind of in jeopardy because of the stupid decisions of a company. So I'm still working on it. Thank you for your patience, and I will see everybody on Thursday.